We are in the midst of a summer sermon series. Really, we started beginning of August, so I guess it's not the midst of it. A summer sermon series on Bible characters. And we've only looked at one character thus far. And we are learning about Judah's 16th king. His name is Josiah. Yes, you remember well. Josiah, or as he is affectionately known, he is Good King Josiah, because in fact that's what he was. We learned already in the two times that we looked at his life and the historical records of him in the Book of Kings here, we have learned that his father, Amnon, and his grandfather, Manasseh, were wicked kings who did evil in the sight of the Lord, who set up idols and groves and stuff and worshipped Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped them and served them and turned away from the Lord God, Jehovah. But Josiah was of a different mind. He didn't follow in the footsteps of his father and grandfather. Rather, he took a different route. We learned three fundamental root character qualities in Josiah that helped him through the years of his reign as king in Judah. If you remember back in chapter 22, verse 3, we found out that, number one, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Right? His father and grandfather didn't, but he did. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. How did he learn to do that? I think we can assume he didn't learn it from his father or his grandfather. His mother's name is given to us. Her name was Jedidah. And we don't know anything more about her, but perhaps it was her that helped Josiah do things that were right in the sight of the Lord. That was a root character quality of this man, one I think that we all as Christians should emulate in our lives as well. Secondly, we learned that he walked in all the way of his fathers. The word way is singular here, not ways plural, but singular. And the word all, you must don't skip over that one either. He walked in all the way of David, his father. And we know that David would have been his forefather. I think we calculated about the 15th great-grandfather for Josiah was King David. And that's commendable concerning this young man who took the reins of the kingdom of Judah when he was 8 years old. And so he's obviously had some help along the way. And then the third thing that we learned about his character was that he turned not aside to the right or to the left. He followed in all the way of David, his father. He didn't turn to the left. He didn't turn to the right. He was straight on. He was focused on the things that he was doing and the walk that he had. And these are the kind of character qualities that, again, we all as believers in Christ should have in our daily lives as well. So the last time, last Sunday, that we took a look at what Josiah did during his 31 years as king in Judah, we noted that he began to rule when he was 8 years old. And then we learned that in his 8th year of his reign, Josiah began to seek after the God of his father David. We learned that in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3, which is the parallel passage to 2 Kings 22 and 23. This was his 8th year, so Josiah would have been 16 years old. And we remarked on how marvelous it is as a young teenager that Josiah had the desire to seek after the God of David, his father. And certainly that stood him in good stead for all the years that he ruled. Then we learned when Josiah was in his 12th year of reign, so now he is 20 years old, We learned that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from pagan idolatrous worship. He broke down the altars of Baal. He destroyed the idols and groves where the worship of Baal and other pagan deities were worshipped. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites. He essentially cleaned up the land and its spiritual life. And we learned about that in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3 and following. It's a number of years that he was involved in tearing down all those places of false worship. Imagine if we did that today and here in Canada. I mean, a guy who defends himself in his home from an intruder at 3 o'clock in the morning and the homeowner gets arrested. Can you imagine if these kinds of things were done now? We'd find ourselves in jail, I'm sure. But Josiah was king, so he could do these things without with any pushback. And besides the fact, he was always doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So this was good. He cleansed the land of all of the idolatry. And then the next thing that we learned last week was in his 18th year of reign, so now he is 26 years old, we found that the temple had been in disrepair for a number of years because of the evil kings that reigned before Josiah. And they even brought in some pagan idols and stuff into the temple area and set those things up to worship Baal and the heavenly host, sun, moon, and stars. All of that was in the temple. And so the temple had been in disrepair because of those kings. It had been let go for many years. So it had even undergone many changes, as we said, in the building to house pagan worship. And Josiah, we're told, wanted to repair the breaches of the house. You can see that in 2 Kings 22 and verse 5. Right? He wanted to repair the breaches in the house. So he got into a building program, a renovation program to repair the temple. And during the repair of the temple, the high priest Hilkiah found a book, the book of the law, actually, while they were cleaning some part of the building. And Hilkiah gave that book to Josiah's servant named Shaphan and the scribe, and he took the book of the law that was found in the temple. I guess it had been buried under all kinds of stuff, and Hilkiah found it, and Shaphan took the book to the king. So look at chapter 22. If you're in 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings 22, look at verses 8 through 10. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. So in the historical account, it sounds like this book had, we might use the term, been lost, but really it wasn't lost. It was just buried in all the stuff in the temple. Nobody paid any attention to this book of the law. And it had been that way for many, many years. Of course, not all the kings in Judah were good kings. There were a number of evil kings who didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the book just got buried. So no one had any reference to it or understanding of what it was all about, right? And so the book had been forgotten, and the content of the book of the law, and we'll find that it was the book of the law of Moses. So we understand the book of the law to be the Pentateuch, what's called the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I don't think that this book of the law was just simply Leviticus or anything like that. I think it was the whole thing that Moses had put together by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so that's a big book. Have you ever read the first five books of the Bible all the way through, all together, all at once? That would take a little while to do. I think in the reading schedule that I follow, the book of Genesis took me, I don't know, a couple of weeks to get through, reading several chapters every day. And yet here's Shaphan the scribe, read the book of the law to the king. It sounds like in one sitting, so that would have been quite the tale. So, of course, all the evil kings that preceded Josiah would have had no interest in having the book of the law in hand. And if it was buried during the days of Manasseh or even Amon, Josiah's father, I think we can understand how it could have been just put away and nobody ever gave it any more thought. So the book of the law had been buried and now discovered again. Do you know that there are 27 references to the book of the law, mostly in the Old Testament, but two times it's referenced in the New Testament, in Galatians 3:10 and Hebrews 9:19, talks about the book of the law. Of interest to us this morning is, of course, what some of the instructions of the book of the law in the Old Testament, and that made an impact upon King Josiah in a very big way. So in the Old Testament, 14 times the book of the law is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, 11 times in Joshua, and then 9 times in both 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, where we are here this morning, and even 10 times in the book of Nehemiah. Now it mentions and talks about the book of the law. And of course, Nehemiah would be important because Nehemiah had come back after the Babylonian captivity to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and to have the book of the law in hand was a very important thing for them. Now, we're not going to look at all the references to the book of the law, but I would have you turn to the first mention of the book of the law that we have here, and it's found in Deuteronomy 17. So keep your fingers here in 2 Kings. Come over to Deuteronomy. It's the last book of the law. You know what the Hebrew word for the law is? Torah. Yes, it's the Torah. So in Deuteronomy 17, and find verse 14. And we'll just read a few things here. So Deuteronomy is a kind of a review of the law that God gave Moses on the mountain and had written it out. So verse 14 says, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, these words were given by the Lord to Moses at Sinai, when they were still gathered around the mountain. They haven't even left to go to the promised land yet. And so this is prophetic from the Lord for the people who would be around in the time that Israel came into the land. "So when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me." Does that sound familiar? That's what they wanted to do. Remember they said to Samuel, "You make us a king, because we want to be like all the nations all around us." This is prophetic. This has been stated by the Lord how many years before? Quite a few. Verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. What does that tell you about Solomon? 300 wives, 700 concubines. The Lord said, king should not multiply to himself wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, notice this, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to what? Do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So the Lord had set that as a statute and a command for the time when Israel would desire a king when they got into the land. And so here we are, Josiah is the 16th king in Judah, and the book of the law has been forgotten. Each king was supposed to write out a copy for himself, and that had not happened. And so many of the kings in Judah had turned away from the Lord and did evil in his sight. Such was the import of the book of the law. So when it was found by Hilkiah in Josiah's days and then read before the king, there was a very important reaction that had come from Josiah. Just before we leave this part, in Deuteronomy 31, you don't have to turn there. If you're making notes, you can jot the reference. Deuteronomy 31, in verses 24 to 26, Moses finished the book of the law, and he had put it in the Ark of the Covenant. By the time of Josiah's day, there was no book of the law in the Ark of the Covenant. Seems to me, and I can't remember the reference, but the only thing that was in the ark in those days was just the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod that budded was gone, the pot of manna was gone, the book of the law was not even in there. So the disaster for Israel having not had the book of the law is very plain. In Joshua 1 verse 8, when Joshua took over leadership of Israel from Moses, he was instructed with this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, how often? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So how important is the book of the law? Very important. And it had been buried for many years in the temple under all kinds of stuff of false gods and false worship. No ruler had any interest in the book of the law, neither to copy it or read it or even obey it. So it was a momentous day when a copy of the book of the law was found in the temple. Shaphan the scribe read it before the king. And Josiah's reaction to hearing the words of the book of the law are very instructive. So we're back in 2 Kings 22. Look at verse 11. It came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah a servant of the king's, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us. That's a blessed reaction, it seems to me. He understood that they were in trouble. The wrath of God was against Judah, his people, because they had not done anything in accordance to the book of the law. So in verses 14 down to the end of the chapter, really, Hilkiah, the high priest, and all the other guys that were mentioned there, they go to someone called Huldah, the prophetess. You can see that in... Where is it? Verse 14. They went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. So they went to this prophetess. More about that in just a second. So I liked Josiah's reaction. What did he do? He rent his clothes, which was an ancient sign of deep mourning and grief, visible to rent your clothes, rip them. He understood from the reading of this book of the law that the wrath of the Lord was kindled against them because their fathers had not hearkened to the words of this book to do what it said. And that was serious stuff. He understood the wrath of the Lord was against them. And then we found out that he wanted answers. He wanted answers from the Lord as to what this was all about. Because they hadn't had the book of the law for many years. And he's now 26 years old, the 18th year of his reign. And they just found the book of the law. So he's serious about doing what is right in the sight of the Lord, and so he wanted some answers. He sent Hilkiah and others to inquire of the Lord about what they read. So they went to Huldah, the prophetess, to hear what the Lord would say about this situation. Now, we don't know anything about Huldah, the prophetess. There's no background. There's no history. She's mentioned only here in 2 Kings verse 22:14, and also in 2 Chronicles 34:22, which is the parallel passage to Kings. But we're not told anything. Excuse me. We're not told anything about her. We don't know how she became a prophetess or why she would be a prophetess. We don't know anything about her, so we're not going to speculate anything about her either. Her answer to the high priest and the others is written in 2 Kings 22, verses 15 down through 20. So if you want to just peruse those few verses, 15 to 20, we won't take time to read them here this morning. But we will draw your attention to a couple of things. In verse 16, Huldah the prophetess says, Thus says the Lord, I will bring evil upon this place, upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read, because they have forsaken me. They burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, and therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But the Lord had a word concerning Josiah, right? Because of the history in Judah and the evil kings, God's wrath was against his people. Verse 19 says, this is from the Lord concerning Josiah, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought word to the king again. So, this is good. And I'm glad that it got recorded in God's word, in the scriptures. The Lord says to Josiah, thine heart was tender. The word tender here means soft, mollified. You can massage it and mold it, kind of thing. So his heart was tender, and the Lord took notice of that. Also, the Lord took notice, thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. Humbleness and humility is an important trait that all of us need to have. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, even as believers in Christ. We dare not walk around with our nose stuck in the air, thinking that we're better than everybody else. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. One of the verses in the New Testament says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands beware lest he fall, right? And so we're to humble ourselves before the Lord, and that's what Josiah did. He was humbled before the Lord, and then the Lord says, thou hast rent thy clothes, right? He took note of that sign of mourning, and wept before the Lord. And so here's the king weeping because they have failed to follow and to do the things that the Lord had given to them in the book of the law. And then the Lord said, finally, I have heard thee. Isn't it wonderful when we can have the assurance that God hears us when we pray, when we call unto him? And that's given to us in our New Testament, that as we pray and as we go before the Lord, he will hear, and we trust will answer in accordance to his will. So all because Josiah had heard the words of the book of the law and realized they had done none of it, the Lord took notice of the king and said, because you have reacted and responded that way, I'm going to keep you from seeing the evil that I'm going to bring upon this place. You will go to your grave in peace. Now, we also took note that Josiah was the last good king in Judah. His sons were just as evil as Josiah's father and grandfather. And several kings afterwards, the Babylonians came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple in 586. B.C. So the Lord's promise to Josiah, because of how he responded to the book of the law, is very instructive, I think, even for me. For us, these are things that the Lord looks for in his servants, right? Tender heart, humility, expressions of grief when we realize we have done that which is wrong according to the word of God, weeping and calling out to the Lord. Lord looks for those things, and especially reading his word, which is what Josiah had for him. So these are the things that the Lord looks for, and I trust that we might put them to work in our lives as well. So much of the Christian world today is anything but these things, and we need to stay in the word. And when we find we are not obeying the word, then to humbly make changes in our lives, in our walk, that we might come back into conformity to the word. And that's really an ongoing thing in all of our lives, isn't it? We do well sometimes, but sometimes we don't do so well. And we need to recognize when we don't and seek the face of the Lord, humble ourselves, and come back to his word once again. Tender hearts and humble spirits. What a wonderful description that is for believers. Now, the outcome of hearing this prophecy we read in 2 Kings 23, verses 1 to 3. Notice what is written here. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, the prophets, and the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. In light of all that they read in the book of the law, or the covenant as it's called here, Josiah made a covenant with the Lord God Jehovah, along with the priests and the people and the prophets, and they made this covenant. The covenant was to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, testimonies, and statutes with all of their heart and all of their soul, and to perform, or we would say obey, all the words that were written in the book of the law. Hadn't done this for years. And so Josiah led in making this covenant with the priests, the prophets, and the people, that they would do this. They would be this way in accordance to the book of the law, to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, testimonies, and statutes with all their hearts and soul, and do what the Lord said. That's quite a covenant, isn't it? All the people stood, which means they stood in acceptance of this covenant along with Josiah. So then after this, the Josiah commanded Hilkiah and the priests to remove all of the stuff for Baal out of the temple. And he burned it all. You read about that in verses 4 down through 20. And you can read that at your own leisure. The good king Josiah commanded the people to keep the Passover also as a result of this, for he must have learned about the Passover by reading the book of the law. So if you look at verse 21 and 22, it says, the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not hold in such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. And it was in the 18th year of King Josiah wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. They hadn't kept the Passover for many, many years in Jerusalem, which was part of the instructions of the Lord in the book of the law. So that's a few short verses about that. There's a fuller description in 2 Chronicles 35. So if you want to turn to 2 Chronicles 35, we're just about done. 2 Chronicles 35. And in verses 1 down through 19 is a description of the Passover that was kept during the days of Josiah. Let me just point out a couple of verses to you. Verse 1, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. That's exactly what the Lord said that they needed to do, right? 14th day of the first month, they killed the Passover lamb. And then he set the priests in their charges, encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. They sacrificed thousands of sheep, thousands of goats, thousands of bulls at this particular Passover. And in verse 6 it says, so kill the Passover, sanctify yourselves, prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Right, so they're going to follow the scripture to do this right. when you come down to verse 13, and they roasted the Passover with fire, according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings sawed they in pots and in cauldrons and pans, divided them speedily among all the people. They had singers prepared, sons of Asaph, verse 15. And so all the service, verse 16, of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover, to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord, according to the commandment of King Josiah. And then look at verse 18. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And in the 18th year, in the reign of Josiah, was this Passover kept. What a day of rejoicing for them. And we know that the importance of what Passover was to them. That was a time to commemorate and to thank the Lord for their deliverance from Egypt as slaves. For us as Christians, Passover is important because that's when Jesus died as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. It was at Passover time. And as Paul the Apostle says, that Christ is our Passover. And so it becomes important for us as well. So no Passover like it in the history of the kings of Israel, even from the days of the judges. And so we find that in the remaining 13 years of Josiah, after his 18th year, these reforms, we expect, changed the whole nation, the whole kingdom of Judah, for those last 13 years. But they would not last past Josiah's time. He was the last good king in Judah, as we said. The remaining kings were evil, and the kingdom ended with the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. So we read about these things, and we say, thank you, Lord, that there were some good kings in Judah. men like Josiah, who honored the Lord and sought righteousness for his kingdom, for priests, prophets, princes, and people. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And men like Josiah, for us today, are wonderful examples and models of how we ought to conduct ourselves before the Lord, that we might be pleasing to him. We ought to be in the Word of God and not hide it away like what happened in the temple back in the days of the kings. We need to be obedient to the Word and keep to the service of the Lord as well. And like Josiah, we too ought to be willing and wanting to do what is pleasing to the Lord, to do what is right in his sight, and that which will bring glory to his wonderful name. So Josiah is a wonderful example for us, and I trust that you will keep him in mind when we want to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, that we'll remember Josiah. He's a good example for us to follow. We've got one more thing concerning Josiah that we'll look at next Sunday morning, but the final thing that took place for him, and then his death in a rather terrible situation, but we'll take a look at that next time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for recording for us in the pages of Scripture these stories concerning Josiah. Thank you for the example that he sets for us in wanting to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, to walk in all the way of his father David, not turn to the right hand or to the left, but to be focused on doing those things that would be pleasing in thy sight. We thank you for his response to finding the book of the law and having it read before him, and thank you for all the things that he then did as a result of understanding the contents of the book of the law. And we thank you that they were able to celebrate a great Passover feast in Jerusalem, one unlike anything that had been done for a very, very long time. And I pray that you would help us to see good examples and patterns for us in our own lives today through this man, Josiah. Thank you for writing about him in the pages of Scripture. I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.